Well, good morning. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. This was the way that my parents would greet me every Easter Sunday morning with those words. And it would invite a response. Mum would say, "Christ is risen," and she'd invite me to respond, "He is risen indeed." And it was only yesterday that I really thought through what my mum was doing. She was always asking a question there, seeking for me to respond with an affirmation. She's saying, "Christ is risen," but she's asking, "Do you believe this?" Looking for the response from me, "He is risen indeed." Well, the gospel writers, they were firmly fixed in their belief that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. And they wanted those who read the gospels to believe this too. And so today, we come to the Gospel of Matthew, and it's clear Matthew wants us to believe that Jesus is indeed risen. Well, on Friday, we left Jesus dead and lying in the tomb. Today, we come back to the tomb once more to find something surprising, something even startling. We don't come to see Jesus being resurrected from the tomb today, but instead, we come to see how the resurrection was discovered. To see the tomb is empty, Jesus is risen, and this is news that demands a response. So we're going to unpack today's passage in three sections, looking at "He's not here, he has risen," and "Go and tell." So let's get into it. "He's not here." Well, today we come to the tomb where just days before Jesus was laid to rest. The tomb where his body was placed, where the stone was rolled in front of, where a seal was placed over it, and where a guard was set to ensure that it stayed that way. It's this tomb that we come to in the early morning, on the day after the Sabbath in Matthew's gospel. And we read in verse 1 that two women have come to this tomb. Noticeably, these two women were among the last at the cross just days before. And they were among the last to see Jesus placed into this tomb before the stone was rolled in front of it. And here we see they're the first to come to pay their respects at that very same tomb. And while the narrative doesn't say so directly, we can deduce that these women are here to mourn. They've come to Jesus' grave expecting that Jesus lay dead inside the tomb. Well, for two women, probably in the depths of grief and expecting a quiet moment at the gravesite, what happened next must have been quite shocking. Suddenly, the earth shakes, we read, just as it did at Jesus' death. They watch as an angel appears from above and proceeds to effortlessly move the stone away from the mouth of the cave. And then rather than going in to fetch Jesus' body or to let him out, this angel just sits upon the rock. The angel merely moves the rock and sits on it and begs those outside to look in and to see that the tomb is empty. It's here we realize the angel hasn't moved the stone because there's a body in there. He's moved it precisely because there isn't one. There's no sign of any dead man within the tomb. The closest we get to someone being dead is the guards outside the tomb who are so paralyzed in fear that it says they appeared like dead men. Well, the guards aren't the only ones afraid, we read. The women, too, are terrified by this heavenly visitor. But we go on to read comforting words from the angel in verse 5. And if you've got your Bible in front of you, please do have a look at it with me. In verse 5, the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." He begs the women, unlike the soldiers, not to fear. because the angel knows why they're here. The angel is there because of them. He's there because he knows they've come looking for Jesus, whom the angel agrees was crucified. He died. The angel has come and told them this. But he hasn't come just to agree that Jesus died. He's come to tell and show them something as he proceeds in verse 6, saying, "He's not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Jesus was dead, but now the angel confronts these two mourners with the reality that Jesus is no longer within the tomb. And he begs them in to see the reason he's moved the stone, so they can see the place where Jesus lay and see that there's no body lying in there. So they can see with their own eyes that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. All the evidence here points to the reality that Jesus should have been in that tomb. A huge boulder blocking the tomb, the guards guarding it, the women, they were coming to mourn. All of this points to the reality that Jesus' body should have still been within that tomb. If you can imagine like a whodunit or a murder mystery, all the evidence in the mystery points to where the body should be. And it points us to the tomb. Or like the game of Cluedo that some of us play. With all the clues, we're trying to work out who killed who and where. Well, all the clues here are pointing out that Jesus' body should have been in that tomb. But the tomb's empty. And it was empty even before the angel rolled the stone away. So where's the body? Where is Jesus? Well, we've seen he's not here. That is, Jesus is not still inside the tomb. He is not here. He's risen. Suddenly the words of the angel start to ring in our ears. He has risen. We read them again in verse 6 where it says, "He is not here, for he has risen, as he said." The angel tells them Jesus has risen. He's no longer lying dead in the grave. He has risen. And in verse 7, he repeats this again, further clarifying by saying he is risen from the dead. Jesus was not simply sleeping or recovering from almost dying. No, the angel states clearly that he was dead, and that is where he has risen from. He'll have us read it no other way, find no other explanation. Jesus has really, truly risen from the dead. He's not in the tomb. I wonder, do you see that the gospel writers, they'll leave us with no doubt that this is what they meant and what they believed. Jesus had risen from the dead. Do you believe this? Well, Jesus has risen, and the angel adds back in verse 6, "It has happened just as he said." Jesus had said numerous times what would happen to him in Jerusalem, such as we read back in Matthew 17, verses 22 to 23, where he said, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And he will be raised on the third day." He said things like this numerous times throughout his ministry, and it was so well known that even the Jewish leaders had heard Jesus say this. That's why they'd posted guards in the first place at the tomb, as you can see if you look back in the previous chapter. And in that previous chapter, they say this to the guards and to Pilate. We remember how that imposter said, while he was still alive, "After 3 days, I will rise." That's why they'd set the guards. Well, Jesus had said this again and again, so much so that it had become well known. And now the angel says to these women, "It has happened. It has really happened, just as Jesus had said that it would." And in this amazing miracle of Jesus' resurrection, he proves who he really is. He proves that everything that he has been saying is true. Jesus has proven what he said by rising from the dead. So do we believe what he said? And if what Jesus said truly happened, well, then we can take him at his word. And that means Jesus must be who he said he was. So who did he say that he was? Well, we can trust his word that Jesus was the Christ, the promised Savior who came to save the people from their sins. And therefore, we can take heart that Jesus' death has truly dealt with our sin and the punishment that we deserved. We can trust that Jesus' words mean that he indeed was the promised king, as he said. And he has brought in the kingdom of heaven in his saving work and now reigns as king. There's plenty more that we can say about who Jesus is and why he came. And we can read it in Matthew's gospel. The resurrection shows us that we can believe these words spoken by Jesus. While Jesus is not in the tomb, he's risen. And the angel would have the women respond to this good news. So what are they going to do? Well, after telling them to check the tomb for themselves, the angel commands them in verse 7 to go and tell. Go and tell. Look with me at verse 7. He tells them, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. These two women, having received the message that Jesus has risen, are commissioned with bringing this good news to the disciples. These women who were the last at the cross, the first at the tomb, and now to be the first to bring the good news to others. They're commissioned to bring the good news, Jesus has risen, and the promise to the disciples that they will see him. Well, how do these women respond to this commission? We read they do exactly as they're told. Their actions even matching the words almost exactly as the angel said. And so we look ahead to verse 8 and we read, so they departed quickly. The exact words that the angel had said back in verse 7. They departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to do what? To tell the disciples, which is exactly what the angel had told them to do. Here we have two godly women whose obedience, I think, is something to be imitated, and we do well to imitate their obedience. They do exactly as they've been told. They go and they tell. And while there is still fear at the events unfolding, there is also now great joy. For the news of Jesus' resurrection is a source of great joy for those who understand what it means. That Jesus is the Savior, as we've said, that Jesus is the King. But as we read on, that Jesus is also God. So we see suddenly that their obedient response is interrupted, don't we? In verse 9, we read, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Well, Jesus meets them face to face. And their response reveals who the resurrection has revealed Jesus to be. Here at the end of the gospel, we see a mirroring of the start. The beginning of the gospel, the wise men, having heard of the promised king, come and worship Jesus. They worship the one who was promised, Emmanuel, God with us. And here at the end of the gospel, what do we see? We see these two women worshiping Jesus, who is Emmanuel, who is God with us. What the resurrection shows us is who Jesus is. He's the one who is to be worshipped. He's fully God. He's the one who speaks truth and we can take him at his word. He has conquered the grave. And as a conquering king conquers his enemies, he is to be worshipped. Worshipped only as God deserves. So let us too respond on this Easter Sunday with joy and worship. Well, Jesus now turns to these women and he speaks comforting words again, repeating the instructions that they were already on their way to carry out, but with a slight change of wording. See, in verse 10, we see that he calls the disciples here my brothers. Those who had fled from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane are assured that they're still affectionately called Jesus' brothers. And this assurance has not come via a third party, but Jesus himself calls them his brothers. Well, the account of the women and the resurrection ends here. But we read on to see that the disciples go to see Jesus in Galilee, which tells us that these women were faithful and obedient. They told the disciples, and the disciples followed those instructions and went and met Jesus. The women did what they were supposed to do. They obeyed, they went, and they told about the resurrection. Remarkably, this is the emphasis that Matthew's gospel ends on. The news, the good news that Jesus has risen is to be told. We too are called to go and to tell. We are to share this news of Jesus' resurrection, to tell people he's risen, to tell people who Jesus is. People need to hear this news today more than ever. So, is there just one person that you could share this with this Easter? Is there a friend, a co-worker, a family member, perhaps a neighbour at a nice social distance that you could have a conversation with? You could ask them, how was your Easter? What did you get up to? And when they return the question to you, you could share with them about the wonderful news that Jesus is indeed risen and what difference that makes to your life. Jesus' resurrection is good news for all. So let's follow the godly example of these women and go and tell. Let's take the opportunity to share that news this Easter. Well, Jesus is not in the tomb. He has risen. So we are to go and tell. Let us rejoice this day that Jesus is risen and affirm that he is risen indeed.